This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gains for Girls podcast. When you think of the gender ideology movement and how it affects sports, you probably think of someone like Leah Thomas, right? Like a very mediocre man swimming on the men's team who ultimately decides to switch to the women's team to become a record smasher. And understandably so, you probably think of this because we have thousands of examples of virtually the same scenario. Every sport, every level, every division, every state, this is happening. But what you probably don't think of is how this adversely affects women in a totally different scenario. Today's guest, she is an activist in her own right, defending the lives of the unborn. But more importantly, she's a mother. Her daughter was faced with a scenario, which I am so excited for you guys to hear about today. So make sure you stay and watch the podcast with Brandi Meeks. Well, Brandi, thank you so much for joining the Gains for Girls podcast. We got connected a few weeks ago about an issue that I'm super excited to talk with you about today. This is, of course, an issue that's required you to take a firm stance, but this is nothing new to you. So before we get into all of that, I want you to be able to share a little bit about your background as an activist in a totally different realm.
Okay. All right. So it is related in some ways, right? But also just very much complementary. So I am the president of an organization named Vitae Foundation, and we focus on research about life-saving issues. We do emotional research specifically, and then we take those findings to create messaging strategies and share those with other people within our circles of influence and also the pro-life community, because we want to defend life and we believe that we have to love people enough to tell them the truth, specifically about abortion. And so that is primarily the work that I'm in on a day-to-day basis, and have also had the privilege of being able to step out into some other activism work as well recently.
You're traveling, you're all over the place, you understand the toll that just that alone, the travel takes on you. But you're right in saying, you know, I kind of preface by saying these are two totally different realms, but you're right in saying they really are similar. I think a lot of these cultural issues that we're really seeing, they do overlap in a lot of different ways. But as I mentioned, you've been faced with this new issue, of course, the gender ideology movement and all of its adverse effects, but really in a different way than most people think when they think about this issue, especially as it pertains to sports. And so I would love if you could give a little background as to what I'm referring to here.
Absolutely. So first of all, I want to state, and I know you feel the same way, I love all people, right? That's why I do the work that I do day in and day out, is because I want equality for all people. I love equality. I love equality for all people. And that includes our young women that are participating in sports. And so recently, I had something come across my radar, and honestly, I didn't really want to do it, right? I didn't really want to step into it because, like you shared, I already had so much going on in my day-to-day life, and I have a couple places that I can escape to not have to be on for those things and have a little bit of just a little bit of privacy, and that's usually like in the gym working out, and then also getting to watch my kiddos wrestle. And that was something that we encountered about a month ago as we were entering into the state wrestling tournament. My daughter qualified for the state wrestling tournament. It's actually, I believe, the fifth year in a row that we've had someone from our family that had qualified for the state wrestling tournament. And the weekend before, I received a message from a friend who said, "Hey, I'm actually probably one of the most liberal friends that you have, right, on social. But I want to give you a heads up about a situation because it might affect your daughter." And it immediately kind of gave me pause, right? Like, what are we talking about here? And as I looked into it, I could see that there was a school that was in the St. Louis, Missouri area that was bragging on the fact that there was, they called the student a he, but that he had recently won the girls district wrestling tournament. And I'm like, that's odd. And as I looked into it further, this student was in my daughter's weight class, in her bracket, and was set to wrestle my daughter if she made it through her first round, my daughter, and if the student made it through their first round. So there was a high possibility. The student was, I believe, 53-4 on the year up until this point. And why that matters is that that's a pretty impressive wrestling record, right? And so it's pretty good chance that the student was going to make it through. My daughter did make it through as well. And then this is where, you know, it got a little bit messy because we were trying to understand, is this student wrestling their biological gender? What is the situation? And so as I began digging into it a little bit further, this was an 18-year-old biological woman who is transitioning to be an 18-year-old man. And while we're not looking at medical records, the important thing to keep in mind is that this means there's a possibility of taking testosterone, which hormone therapy, which essentially are performance enhancing drugs. Okay, so this is where the caution starts to come in to think like, this could be a problem. And then additionally, while we're not looking at the student's medical records, the student is bragging to other young women that are in the wrestling circles that the student is taking testosterone to transition. So we have that. And then additionally, if you look at progressive pictures of this student, you would be inclined to think that they are taking testosterone. Here is where the problem ensues, right? This is where we've exposed a loophole along the way, and now we've got to close the loophole. When you're looking at this, this is much different than what you would typically think of, right? In your case, you have somebody who is posing as a woman that is competing against women with an unfair advantage because it is a man. In this situation, this is a biological woman who maybe seems to be taking performance-enhancing drugs to be a man that is still competing against their biological gender, right? And so that's where we start to have issues with that. Again, I didn't want to tackle the issue if I'm being transparent, but when it steps into this situation, it's like we can't turn our heads from it. And I asked my daughter, I asked her, I said, what do you want to do? Right? Because again, like this is the one place that we can kind of check out and just compete. And she said, Mom, we have to do something. You know people that can help us do something. And so that's where we are today.
Well, I commend you for, of course, bringing this issue to light, because like mentioned, we don't tend to think of it this way, but virtually what we're seeing across the board in every state, every sport, every level, every division, it's that women are getting the short end of the stick in every scenario. Males who are self-identifying as women, of course, compete with the women, but females who self-identify as men also compete with the women. And I don't think a lot of people realize this, but this is something I explained to you kind of before, of course, joining the podcast. But at that national championships, where of course we competed against Leah Thomas, again, a 6'4" male who identified as a woman, who we were told we fully had to treat as a woman. At the same national championships, we had another athlete who was transitioning. But this athlete is a female who began to self-identify as a man, who we were told we fully had to treat as a man. Izzy, now goes by the name of Isaac, swam for Yale, ended up placing fifth in the nation in the 100 freestyle, which, let me just for perspective here, for optics purposes, okay, it's the finals of the 100 freestyle, top 8 swimmers in the entire country. And you've got, again, a 6'4" man in a women's swimsuit with a bulge next to a woman wearing only a Speedo, with nothing covering her top, had clearly undergone, had a double mastectomy, but nothing covering her top. I'm sitting there watching this, Brandy, and I'm like, no, it's me. I'm the crazy one. It literally must be. This is the Twilight Zone. But anyways, Izzy, now identifying as Isaac, ended up placing fifth in the nation in the 100 freestyle, which is an incredible achievement to be top five in the country. Now she is competing with the men. At least her senior season, she did. Finished dead last every single time. Got nowhere even remotely close to qualifying for men's NCAA championships while being an All-American on the women's side. Not to mention in the Olympics, the Canadian women's soccer team had an athlete by the name of Quinn who identified as a boy competing on the women's Olympic soccer team. Of course, we can ask the rhetorical question of, oh, well, you know, why is that? But you and I both know the answer. It's because these athletes, as proven, would never and will never be able to compete at the same level against the men. But enough of that. You mentioned a loophole. I imagine right. You're referring to Missouri law, so state law. So were they prepared for this scenario? Because, of course, they have a piece of legislation in place that ultimately protects sports on the basis of sex, or so we thought. Ultimately, what this bill does is really the meat of it is prevents men from entering into women's sports. You guys are fortunate to have a wonderful attorney general, some really awesome leaders in your state, but was Missouri law prepared for this scenario?
I think so. And I do want to commend them because they did a great job trying to protect our young women. They truly did. And that's another thing, like we're here right here in the state capitol where this is happening, right? And so very grateful for their attempt to do that. But again, you can't rationalize with irrational people. And we're dealing with a very irrational population that that are causing these issues. So they didn't see this coming. I mean, it's really the first case of its kind when I was talking with attorneys around the country as we were looking at ways to be able to prevent this from happening. When we reached out to the State High School Association, to Misha, their response was, is she afraid that her daughter is going to lose? That was their compassionate response to us, right? They are instead protecting their situation, right? Because they are saying that the state statute nullified their previous policy that they did have in place. They had a policy in place up until this point that said if a woman is transitioning to be a man and has gone public with that, that they are required to provide whether or not they are taking hormone therapy to do that. Okay. It was never between a man and a doctor or a woman and a doctor at that point. It was in the state handbook, right? Now they are saying, oh, she afraid her daughter's going to lose. For the record, my daughter did not lose. She beat the student 8-0. That is not a prideful thing. That is me being grateful that my daughter stepped into this because a lot of people were telling us like, hey, pull out. Let's forfeit this match. And I couldn't do that for her dreams. This was not something she wanted to do. She wanted to hit this head on and she did a great job. Her skill outperformed the muscle mass that was obviously in place with the other student. But going back to the loophole, what we're dealing with is the fact that you have to wrestle your biological gender. Okay. That makes sense. That's rational. But for someone who is transitioning, they no longer have to disclose to the State High School Athletic Association whether or not they are taking hormone therapy to do it. That is the problem, right? That is the situation we're dealing with. And I know that if we're dealing with it here, it might be the first of its kind, but it will happen in other places. That is why my daughter wanted us to take a stand. That's why I'm doing this today. We do have Senate Bill 1440 that is currently... has been sponsored by Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. I would encourage you that if you are in Missouri, you have family that's in Missouri, anybody who has a pull in Missouri, to reach out to your legislators and tell them that you are in support of this anti-doping bill. What this does is make sure that we expose and close the loophole for young women in Missouri. This will allow, this will ban any kind of hormone therapy and allow for young women to be protected should someone decide that they want to transition to be a male and are born a biological woman. And let me just state again, this is not about the student. This is not about the person. This is about the policy that's in place to be able to protect our young women. College wrestling for women is one of the fastest growing college sports right now. And it's one of the fastest growing athletic scholarships for young women. They will be robbed of these opportunities if we do not close this loophole. That is why it's so important. This is not a one-off situation. This will continue to happen if we don't take a stand on this issue. That's why it's so important. So I just, again, I want to encourage everyone to make sure that they reach out to legislators and let them know how important this really is. This is not just about anti-doping for performance-enhancing drugs. This is about closing a loophole that is much bigger than just not taking testosterone in order to maybe put on a little bit of muscle mass. This is about keeping biological women from doing it in order to still compete in a biological woman's sport.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you think to someone like Lance Armstrong, I mean, what do we call Lance Armstrong? We called him a cheater, is what we called him.
Cheater.
And I love the point that you brought up about your daughter winning. People all the time, they misconstrue the argument here. And they think, oh, well, if this person's not winning, does it really matter? Yes, it matters. It's about the message that it's sending to young girls. We should be telling them that they're worthy of sex-based categories, and that they're worthy to be called champions. They're worthy of safety in their sports. They're worthy of maintaining their dignity and their feelings and identity being affirmed, rather than having all of that kind of diminished to affirm the identity and feelings of a male. And to your point, this isn't, you know, this isn't us trying to say that this person, well, as a Christian myself, I don't necessarily support transitioning from a biblical standpoint, but I think adults should certainly be able to do what they want to do with their own bodies, as long as, you know, it doesn't cost my taxpayer dollars and I'm not forced to necessarily.
And isn't hurting somebody else's body, like the unborn, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But every decision, understand, every decision has consequences. And so if this athlete, wants to transition and wants to go down that route, a consequence of that might be not playing in the sport category of your assigned sex, your observed sex. So yes, I think it's also the juxtaposition here. Again, thinking about the NCAA, they've banned Celsius, the energy drink, because they say it's too much of a performance enhancer. Celsius, they said there's too much caffeine. So I guess, you know, why do you think they're scared to do what they know to be right? Are you kidding me? The NCAA, much broader than that, the IOC, even these state laws that are in place, they know, of course, that testosterone and other drugs like it are performance enhancing. Why do you think they're scared?
I think that they're scared because this doesn't give students a place to land that might be transitioning. And like you said, If you want to change your biological gender and participate in sports, then that's just not an option, right? You have to wait until you've graduated from high school to make that decision if that's what you want to do. And what you might find out, there are a lot of people that regret that, right? Doing that as a young person anyway. And so you might find out that they don't want to do that after they turn 18, right? After they are an adult and their brains are fully formed. That might be the consequence. I think that that right now what we're seeing is, again, our world is upside down and people are clamoring just to try to make everyone feel seen and heard. And they feel like this will prevent them from having a place to land anymore because to play sports, because they have to participate in their biological gender. And if they are transitioning, then they wouldn't be able to participate. Well, then that, like you said, that's a natural consequence, right, of what they would choose. And I think that's something we have to remember. We shouldn't punish our young women, like you said, that, I mean, I want them to feel safe and I want them to feel protected. We fought for so long as women to have the opportunities that we have, and we are just allowing them to be stripped away from us. And also, I want to say, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, thank you so much for speaking up for our girls, and that we need to really encourage more women to do that. But I also have to say, men, we need you helping to protect us as well. Yes, we have voices, and I am grateful for people like you, Riley, and I am grateful to have the platform that I have and the abilities that I have been given and the network that we have. But it is bigger than that. We need men to feel comfortable and not feel like that they don't have a voice in this. They are dads, they are uncles, they are brothers, they are coaches, and we need you. We need you to protect our girls as well. Not from a sexist standpoint of feeling like we need men to handle this for us. No, we need to work together to handle this. And I just don't want men to feel like their voices have to be quieted, because I've heard from a lot of male coaches that have thanked me for saying something because they feel uneasy about saying something in this situation. And you know what? Many of them are probably scared for their jobs, and that's wrong, right? We should be able to, and we should be able to embrace our values and take a stand on this, because again, this is about protecting our girls. And it's not just from this standpoint. We're talking about these girls go into combat with each other, right? Like, it's not just like a track meet where you might run beside each other. This is a matter of they're wrestling. This is a full contact sport. It is not safe, right? It's not just an unfair competitive advantage. It is unsafe for students to be taking performance enhancing drugs against someone who's not, and unknowingly so. This is part of the issue as well. And we need men to step up, and women to, and their voices be heard.
Of course. Parents, that's your call to action. Certainly, I could not agree more. We need to see moms, but we need to see dads. I think that's been the piece that's really been missing. We've seen a big push for moms running for school board and different things, but it's due time that both mothers and fathers are willing, and coaches. I mean, you're right. Every leadership position should be defending these girls, kids in general, because, I mean, they're desperate for it. One more time.
And that's our job, right?
Exactly.
That's our job.
Exactly. One more time. Can you plug the bill in Missouri to garner awareness? Make sure, if you live in Missouri, make sure you are reaching out to your state senator, your state representative, letting them know how you feel about it. Because again, it's important if you truly care about the safeguarding of children and women.
Sure. It is Senate Bill 1440. The way it reads, it prohibits public and private elementary and secondary schools and institutions of post-secondary education from being members of any statewide athletic activities association that allows students to use performance-enhancing drugs. And just something to keep in mind, again, it's going to be labeled as an anti-doping bill. People are going to maybe be confused about how that would connect to something transgender. But now you know the story behind it. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind, right? Is it's not just about making sure some kids don't take some testosterone. It is much bigger than that, because again, we've exposed a loophole. Now it's our responsibility to close that loophole. That's how we can do this. That's how we can work together to do this. So please do not hesitate reaching out to your representatives, to our legislators, to be able to hopefully get this passed.
Amazing. Well, we thank you for your stand on this and all of the issues that you have taken a stand on. Your voice and your platform are incredibly influential and desperately needed. So we are grateful for you, Brandy, and we will be following along, following what SB 1440 is doing, how it's tracking, and what we can do to support it. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your voice. We are so grateful to have you. And you are fiery, girl. I love it. Each time I'm inspired a little bit more to step out of my comfort zone and maybe be a little bit more fiery, a little bit more like Riley.
Well, you're sweet, Brandy. So thank you. If you are living in Missouri, make sure you reach out to your state senator, your state representative, and you are urging them to vote in support of this anti-doping bill, SB 1440. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment anywhere where you get your podcasts. Make sure to check us out at outkick.com, and we will see you again next time.